It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, or CEDAW, is working to make the world a better place for women. The goals of the organization include ending sex trafficking and violence against women, expanding girls' access to education, ensuring women's right to vote, and many more. The organization aims to make Pittsburgh a CEDAW city. To accomplish this goal, they're hosting the event Pittsburgh, No Limits for Women. The keynote speaker is June Zeitlin. She's director of human rights policy at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, and she's in town from Washington, D.C., joining us now in studio. June Zeitlin, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
You've been advocating for the rights of women nationally and internationally for more than 30 years. How did you first get involved with this?
Well, I am a woman, and I do care about human rights and advancing rights in general. But I guess when I was a law student a number of years ago, before there were that many women in law school, I was very concerned about making sure that women were treated fairly as students. There were almost no women faculty members, and of course, women's rights was not really discussed in law school at that time, and so I joined with a number of other women in my class, and we actually helped start the first women's human rights clinic at the law school.
New Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau recently appointed a cabinet of 50% women and 50% men, and when asked about his decision, he replied, "It's 2015. Having been involved in women's rights advocacy for so long, have you seen many leaders taking on this mindset, or do you think that there's still a lot of work to be done?
Well, I think there's a lot of progress, but there's still a lot of work to be done. And particularly in the area of women's leadership and women's political participation, many countries are way ahead of the United States. Back at the UN World Women's Conference in Beijing in 1995, all the countries that were present, including the United States, agreed to 33% or one-third representation of women as critical to encouraging other women to enter politics and to have an impact on policy. And today, over a dozen countries in the world, probably more than that, have that level of representation of women, and a few countries have 50%. Canada is not alone. Actually, Rwanda was the first country to achieve 50% after the tragedies and genocide there, but also a number of countries in Scandinavia have achieved 50% or close to it, as well as countries elsewhere.
And I understand that you recently returned from an international CEDAW conference in Switzerland?
Well, okay, it wasn't really a conference. CEDAW is a international treaty, United Nations Human Rights Treaty, that's ratified by 187 countries in the world.
The United States is
one of only six countries, and we're in very a company we don't usually keep, and we can get to that. But the reason I was in Geneva is because the CEDAW committee, once you ratify CEDAW as a country, you present a report to the committee of experts. They're independent experts on women's human rights, on the progress that you're making, and they have an opportunity to have a dialogue and to talk about progress and challenges. But because the United States has never ratified CEDAW and is not a party to the treaty, they never get to make a presentation. And so they had heard about this new campaign. The reason I'm here in Pittsburgh for Cities for CEDAW, as you mentioned, to get the CEDAW principles applied locally. They had heard about the campaign and were very anxious to hear more about it. So I went there along with about a half a dozen other representatives of women's coalitions across the country who are working on adopting CEDAW or have adopted it in their city. And so we made a presentation to the CEDAW committee of experts, and they were very excited about it. They hadn't seen this kind of local activity in other countries. And so they asked a lot of questions, and they were glad that activists in the United States are working to implement CEDAW, even if it's not ratified nationally. And several of them said they were going to take the ideas back to their own country, even though they had ratified CEDAW, to try to do something locally so that you can really make a difference at the community level.
Why wasn't the treaty ratified by the United States?
That's the $64,000 question. That
I mean, it's like the Kyoto Protocol.
Yeah, why? Well, exactly. So it's not just about CEDAW, or really about CEDAW at all. It's about the U.S. is very reluctant to ratify or endorse international treaties, conventions, in part because, you know, we have a history of exceptionalism in this country where we think what the U.S. system and U.S. governing policies and our Constitution are better than anybody else's. And so
that it would be superfluous to do that, kind of like with the ERA?
Well, you know, for some it's superfluous. For others, they don't want other countries telling them what to do because we know better than anybody what to do. So it's really tied up in a lot of that anti-UN, anti-coalition building, if you will, at the global level. So if you look at the number of human rights treaties that the United States has not ratified, CEDAW amongst them, but also the Convention on the Rights of Children, where we are the only country in the world that has not ratified the treaty on CEDAW. We're one of six. And also most recently, the Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities, which ironically is modeled on our own Americans with Disabilities Act. It was totally the model for this treaty. And it was signed by President Obama in 2009. And in 2013, it was sent up to the Senate and was something that we and many other civil rights and human rights and disability rights groups worked on, because in this country, disabilities has always been an issue that has broad bipartisan support. And people like former Senator Dole have been, you know, committed to advancing disability rights, including the treaty, all along. And yet, because in the Senate, you have to have a two-thirds majority to ratify treaties, it's a high bar, a super majority. We were unsuccessful in getting the Disability Rights Treaty passed, partially because of this reluctance to get involved. Here, this idea that it's superfluous since it's based on our law was one of the objections, as well as, well, why should other countries tell us what to do? And we can do what we want in promoting disability rights or women's rights or children's rights on our own. We don't need the convention.
Then why would something like the ERA was never ratified, right?
Not in the United States.
So it's kind of
the
falls
under
this.
We came very close. I mean, it wasn't Congress actually that blocked the ERA. It was that you can ratify that's an amendment to the Constitution.
Right.
So you have a different process, and it requires 3/4 of the states to ratify it. And as you know, they fell 3 votes short of 3 states short of getting it ratified. There's actually a movement now to resurrect the ERA and to, you know, bring it back to the states, but it's just very much in the discussion stage.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is June Zeitlin. She's Director of Human Rights Policy at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, and she's in town from Washington, where she has been speaking as part of the event Pittsburgh No Limits for Women. Joining me in studio, the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, New Voices Pittsburgh, the Women and Girls Foundation, and other organizations in Pittsburgh are interested in making Pittsburgh a CEDAW city. What advice do you have for them?
Well, I'm very excited by the momentum and the coalition building that has already taken place in Pittsburgh. I met with some of the leading members of the coalition yesterday, and then at the launch event, we had a really good turnout of diverse women and some men to hear the presentation and to talk about next steps and going forward. So what I always say in this kind of situation is the thing about CEDAW is it's a comprehensive framework to advance the rights of women and girls. So it's not just about one issue. It's about the multiple issues and challenges that women and girls face. And it's also an opportunity for organizations that work on different issues to come together and also look at the particular issues that different groups of women face. And so we always suggest that there be a broad and diverse coalition. And I think in Pittsburgh, they're really off to a great start on that. And I could see that myself. And I think now they're in the process of expanding to include other groups that haven't been involved from the beginning. And most importantly, to educate the community and what is CEDAW? Because I don't know how many of your listeners actually knew what CEDAW was before this program. So I really appreciate your doing it, because I think once people know about CEDAW, they get excited and they want to participate and they want to make something happen. And I think one other unique thing about Pittsburgh is it is a human rights city. So there is some awareness about what the difference that human rights can make in addition to our constitutional and civil rights. So I think there's a great base to build on, and I'm looking forward to hearing some good news in the next number of months or year that the steps that Pittsburgh will take.
And yet, we live in a state where we were talking earlier about Canada and how the new prime minister's cabinet is a 50-50 split evenly between men and women. And yet, in Pennsylvania, our legislature is heavily tilted toward a majority of men in the seats as representatives and members of the Senate. So I'm wondering why that situation exists in some parts of America still, and how best to address it.
Well, that's an important question, and it's something that I think we in the women's rights movement have been trying to address for a number of years. There's some unique features of our system, which as a student of government and the law, frankly, I didn't really appreciate until I started doing work globally and saw what other countries do. But our federalist system, our winner-take-all single districts system is actually one of the most difficult systems to create diversity in, because each candidate is on their own, and also we have very little public financing for candidates except in the presidential race and in a few states. So that's also often a barrier. And of course, I always joke, like, you can't talk about the Q word here in the United States, quotas. Mm. But a lot of countries do set targets or quotas to reach that 30% or 50% target. And frankly, I think we all know that nobody, women or men, give up power easily or voluntarily. And so the purpose of quotas is to help bring about change in the system. I mean, in our country, like 99% of incumbents get reelected. And so it's very hard as a newcomer and one maybe that doesn't have as much money to get elected. But, you know, progress has been made. And while I'm a big advocate of greater numbers, I think we've also seen, certainly in the Congress, where we recently achieved 20% women, which is, again, not that high, but they were women who had great seniority. And so they chaired a number of committees. And so they had a major influence, particularly in the U.S. Senate, on policy being made. And you could see the difference. You could really see the difference. So, I mean, I think we have to continue to work on it. And one of the great frustrations, I think, has been we achieved about an average of 25% in state legislatures of women representative maybe 10 or 15 years ago. And we all thought we were on the cusp of a major change. And yet it seems to be stalled at that level. So I think campaign finance, some of these groups like Emily's List and others that raise money to particularly support candidates at the early stages and also provide training, help with campaign staff. I think the more we see of that, hopefully, I'm an optimist by nature, so I'm hoping that those numbers will continue to grow.
Our guest has been June Zeitlin. She's Director of Human Rights Policy at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. She was the keynote speaker at No Limits for Women and has been an advocate for women for more than 30 years. June Zeitlin, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thanks so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much.